Everything's on fire. Everything's on fire. Everything's on fire.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Devi Hour. It's a special episode. We're going to do some fun stuff. We are going to do a way, 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 way too early rookie draft for the 2021 rookie class. So we are putting our crystal balls on the table, and we're going to say these are the guys that we think are going to be your top two rounds worth of rookie picks when it comes to rookie drafts next year. We'll probably be wrong, and this will probably change because I'm sure we'll do this again soon. This is going to be a one QB. The next episode will be a super flex, so it'll look a little different. But as you can see, we've got our usual Monday night suspects. We are doing this as a team because we figured it'd be great to have Craig jump on board because he does some Devi leagues with us. And, you know, albeit he doesn't want to admit that he knows Devi, he does a good job. So, Craig, we're glad you're with us tonight, buddy. Welcome, and thanks for helping out. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it's glad to be here. And I don't know that I'm any good at it. Sometimes it's better lucky than good, but I do all right. So we'll see how it goes tonight.
He's dishing out the humble pie already. Oh, I love it.
I was going to say, let's go ahead and prop him up a little bit. This is the guy who took Brevin Jordan as a high schooler. This is the guy who a week ago gave me info on Hunter Long.
Yep, Hunter Long.
Yeah.
We were talking about him.
Hunter Long. And I watched some film on him. I'm like, yeah, I can see second round out of this guy. I'm not saying it's for sure or anything, but
talent's there.
I can see it. I heard it from Craig first. So, you know, let's give him the props he deserves.
Well,
I probably drafted someone. Actually, I did. I drafted someone who pulled a gun on someone and never played football. And Craig drafted Jordan instead. So, you know, he obviously knows something I don't.
Well, and not to go into too much inside baseball here, but I did just get a Devi trade completed today. You guys probably haven't seen the league that we're in. But I traded away A.J. Dillon, Trevor Lawrence, and Julian Fleming for Kyler Murray and Max Duggan.
I'm seeing that right now.
In our XFL league. I certainly like Trevor Lawrence, but given where I'm at in that league this year and everything that's happened this year, I felt I needed another quarterback for now that was going to get me points, being that it's super flex. So we'll see how it goes. I also have Trey Lance there, who I like, and I think we'll talk about tonight potentially coming up for another guy. But we'll see how it plays out. But we don't get a whole lot of Devi trades made, so.
Which is interesting because I like to trade. Like, I'm a big fan of trading, but it's so hard in Devi leagues to trade because, especially because the guys I have, I'm like, I kind of like these guys. Like, I don't want to just give them up, you know.
Well, and I had traded the aforementioned Brevin Jordan to you in a earlier trade this offseason for Darrell Henderson that didn't work out great. But then I ended up getting Chris Carson for him and Neil, which Carson's helping me in the same league too this year. So we'll see if it's worked out.
Yeah. As I'm rebuilding, it's going to work out nicely for me. You know, I've got my quarterbacks, my nucleus of young quarterbacks, hopefully. You know, so building up the rest of the skill players and some of that, I'm moving in the right direction, which is what I'm happy about. And I've got one more win than I did last year, which was one win. So
you also took over a complete dumpster fire.
Oh, dude.
So
it was a trash heap. It was bad. But it's fun. I mean, these are my favorite types of rebuilds to do. The ones that you know the thing is just a piece of crap. Like, the ones that are hardest is, like, having to make the decision that you need to cut bait and rebuild. Like, this one, I stepped in, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a hot mess. So these ones are fun because you knew what you were going to have to do. So,
yeah.
With that being said, you are the guest, so we're going to let you go first. So for those that are viewing at home at a later date, what we're going to do is we're just going to go down the line. Craig gets picked, Paul gets picked, Guy gets picked. Probably not going to do a ton of detail just because it is still early in rookie scouting season for us over here at Roto Heat. So we're just going to kind of go through and give you some names of guys that we anticipate being up the top as of today that could change. You know, one name you'll probably not see on this list, if he bounces back healthy, could shoot up this list, is Justin Ross. You know, if somehow the football gods allow him to return to the sport and he is cleared and able to play, he's a guy that would shoot up draft boards. But he's not on our list right now because, you know, we want him to stay safe and healthy and hope the best for him, but it looks like things don't look great for him long term. So that being said, Mr. Craig, we will let you kick us off at the 101 in our rookie draft.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is up there for most people, not necessarily the 1.1, but I'm going to go with Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver out of LSU. For a lot of these guys, I wrote down things that I'm concerned with them about, because I find that sometimes more interesting than always talking about what the guy does great. You know, my big concern with him is really just when he deals with press coverage, which he's going to see a lot more of in the NFL, and separation, because that level of competition is going to be, even from what he's at now, which is, you know, sort of that high level in college, going to the NFL, it's a horse of a different color. And whether or not he's going to be able to be more adept at getting things in contested situations when those guys are more physical with him, which he hasn't had to deal with as much in the NFL. And we're sort of seeing this year, even without a guy as accurate as Joe Burrow throwing to him, it's not as amazing as it was last year. So, you know, how do you deal with that adversity? But I still really like him a lot. Clearly he's my 1-1.
Absolutely. So. All right, Mr. Paul.
Yeah, I would have selected Chase number one also. He's solid. My only concern is the opt-out and whatever. With the second selection, there's going to be someone screaming at this. Journey Brown, the running back from Penn State. He just has elite quickness. I'm just a huge fan of his. He's got decent hands, and whichever one of about three or four running backs land well, they're going first or second overall, despite the fact that they're probably third, fourth, fifth, sixth talent wise.
So. Yeah. I mean that, and we saw that in this draft, you know, people were a little hesitant on Jonathan Taylor, even though he was the 101 in most people's minds. When he went to Indy, really weren't sure what that looked like with Marlon Mack. CEH goes to Kansas City. Everybody's hot to trot. Things move around. It's like, you got to take your guy. Obviously, pre-show, I sent my list of my kind of top 24 sort of in order. Probably not necessarily. But if this is a draft and this is how it's fallen, I'm loving it because I get my 1-1. Who is my 1-1 for sure, at least at this point, in a 1QB, and that's Travis Etienne, obviously, running back Clemson. Everybody knows him. He's a big deal. I think he transitions well. He's got all the intangibles that you look for in a really high-end running back. So I'm happy getting him at the 1-3. Most people will probably be taking him 1-1 just because he's kind of the sexy name, but I could easily, you know, my list, Journey Brown is the 1-3, and Ja'Marr Chase is the 1-2. So these are all kind of the top guys. Like I'm on board with these as like your consensus top guys at this point in time. And I'd be happy to get any of the three at the 3, you know, whether it's Chase, Brown, or Etienne. I think they're all really nice long-term prospects. Mr. Craig, 104.
Yeah, well, if you're happy with the first three, we're probably going to go off the rails here.
Collins. No, don't do that. No,
not that far. But my top running back is a guy that I don't know you had on your list, which is Kenneth Gainwell. Nope. Out of Memphis.
I do like him, though. He wasn't on mine.
His size, there's concerns about that, although we've seen smaller running backs, especially in this day's NFL, be able to excel with it going pass happy. He's a willing blocker. He's just not amazing at it. But I think a lot of these guys, if they're willing to do it, you can teach them how to be at least acceptable at it. And he has had some fumbling issues. You know, that was one of the things with Mr. Taylor before this previous year. That was a concern. I think that's something, again, that you can coach out of a guy if he's willing to learn about better ball security. So, but talking about someone that just does everything well, and I think fits in today's NFL exceptionally well, he's my guy.
Absolutely. Paul?
Yeah, I'm a fan of that selection. I'm not a fan at four, but I'm a fan of that selection. Mike Norvell knows how to scout talent. Hopefully he can bring that over to his new position there. At the 105, I'm going to select Rashad Bateman of Minnesota, receiver. He's just got elite size. And like most of them with the size, we're slightly concerned about the 40, but not overly. He reminds me of a better Mike Williams. Chargers Mike Williams. There was Tampa Mike Williams there also.
And there's also Detroit Lions Mike Williams, former USC wideout.
Awesome in the league. Awesome. Yes. So, yeah, that is my selection. I would feel he's pretty safely the top remaining asset for me on the board.
Yeah, I like him. I like all those selections. Gainwell I like, but it was hard for me to put him in my top 24, at least at this point, until sees better security with the ball. Like, that drives me crazy, ball security. I just couldn't get behind that. But I like the player. Like, if he gets that together, he's such an amazing athlete that, you know, he'll shoot up. And he probably, all things considered, he's probably top 10 when we get to rookie drafts. Landing spot, I think, will boost him up as well, because I could see him landing somewhere that needs running back help and really shining. At the 106, I'm going to go Jalen Waddle. He's kind of a guy that I just seem to pick up everywhere I can. I love him. I think he's kind of, like a Henry Ruggs type guy when it comes to the big play, big speed. I like his hands. I like his ability to go up and get the ball. You know, I've watched him high point at times. I watched him go up and attack it, which is what I want to see out of a receiver. So I'm happy at the 1-6 getting, probably my, well, he is the third receiver, and he's probably my third favorite receiver. It's kind of what I expect. Craig, 1-7, sir.
Yeah, Waddle's my number two receiver, so I have him right in that same sort of range. The next guy, just going in order of my list here, is Najee Harris. I don't know. I mean, there's shades of different guys, and I don't like comps because I think they just don't end up playing well. You know, people are calling Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Maurice Jones-Drew before this season once he got drafted, which is just absurd to me. There's one Maurice Jones-Drew. But I like Harris. He's shifty. He's productive. He's in basically a pro-style offense already. And, they aren't having to use him a lot as some of other Alabama running backs have, been pounded into the ground, where he's, this year especially, just not having that usage, which I like even more. A lot of the same sort of things you're going to hear on these guys, pass protection, receiving, you're just not seeing a ton of it out of them, so it's not necessarily something negative, but it's a question of how adept is he going to be at it. But he's my number two running back. So.
All right, Paul.
I really get my choice here, huh? Between the two Florida guys. They're both fast. They're both tall. They're both elusive.
Same position too, eh?
Yeah, same position. It's almost like I'm deciding between Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole.
There's your one per show, folks.
There it is.
And neither of them are Florida State, even though they're Florida. Come on.
I know you're going with the enemy, looking at Miami.
I know,
and
it's
Florida.
It's. Yeah, I know. At least we don't have to lose by 50 to Florida this year. Anywho, I'm going to go with Brevin Jordan. He just has the higher athletic ceiling for me. It might end up as an Evan Ingram situation when you kind of look at it and go, yeah, maybe you wanted the other one. Now, we all thought that might be in Njoku or Howard. We realized after the fact that it was Kittle, but... I'm going to go Jordan and just hope that the better athlete, I hope, works out. But if someone says that Pitts is the better one, it wouldn't surprise me in hindsight.
Yeah, it's interesting. The guys that I talk to that watch a lot of college stuff that aren't actual scouts, Kyle Pitts seems to be the one that they like the most, but I'm a Jordan guy myself too, obviously. So I like that. I mean, that, at the 1-9 here, that was kind of my thought. I was like, all right, is this the point where I take a tight end? Now, obviously, we haven't specified tight end premium. This is just one QB, but I think this tight end class could be one of the better ones we've seen in recent memory. If all these guys come out, you know, Freiermuth and Kyle Pitts and Brevin Jordan, I mean, those are just – even those, just those three alone are better than most of the last few draft classes we've had. And then you've got a few others that I think could be sneaky good, you know, Charlie Kohler from Iowa State. And, you know, there's a few others that that potentially could be coming out. So I like the Jordan pick. I don't want to do it here, but I feel like I have to do it here because pre-injury – I think he's probably in conversation for a top 5 to 7 pick, so I'll go Chuba Hubbard. But if he doesn't bounce back from his injury, which so far hasn't seemed like he's not, he could be not even a first round pick. But pre-injury, Hubbard was a guy people were talking about as a you know, kind of a first 5 to 10 pick. So I go Chuba Hubbard. I like the kid. I like the skill, but so far he's not looking great. Miss Craig.
All right. He was more of a fantasy darling, a year or two ago, but or Debbie darling, because he wasn't playing fantasy unless you play college fantasy. But Rondale Moore, you know, the real concern about him is his size, which is understandable. That leads into other things like blocking. But he electric at Purdue, and I really think sort of like some of these other guys we said, if you get him in the right system, I really think he can flourish in today's NFL with just how pass happy it is and how if you have that quickness and speed component, teams know how to get you open. The right teams. Right. I should say not clearly not every team. Yeah. So
don't hate it. Mr. Paul, 111.
We'll head with the other side. We'll go Henry Lee Lucas. And by Henry Lee Lucas, I mean Kyle Pitts. He's been explosive this year, very explosive. And as much as we want to sit here and say, okay, yeah, maybe it's not the top two or three tight ends, there might be a little more. It's such a position that if you don't have someone, you really feel behind the eight ball.
True story.
So I'm going to go Pitts. You can flip-flop these tight ends next week, next year, 5 years from now. We'll see.
Yeah. Rounding out the first, I'll take Amon-Ra St. Brown from USC. I was a big Pittman fan, and I think Amon-Ra's got some Pittman characteristics, but I think he's a bit more explosive. I think he's got just as good catch rate or hands. He's a big kid, could be a little more physical, but I like the player and the prospect. Mr. Craig, kick us off in round two.
I think I'm only taking running backs. No, I took more. It's been basically running backs for me. But I really like this running back
class.
That's
most leagues anymore. So, it seems like running backs go
away. And he's a guy that collegiately really hasn't shown it a whole lot, but I think he's finally getting back to what we've seen previously, sort of in high school, I guess by that I mean. But Zamir White at Georgia, the vision, just the balance that he has and the fact that he can just run guys over. Yeah, he doesn't have that speed, and he probably never will, but bouncing back from injury, you know, the past week or two, he's shown, I think, getting back to what you thought you were going to get out of him. I want to see that continue, of course, but if he gets back to that form of what he showed in high school, which is just weird for me to say, I really think he could be something special still. So,
I like him. He's in my top 24.
Craig just likes looking at high schoolers and their form.
I can't say I've ever watched high school tape since I was in high school watching myself on a little TV they have to roll in the classroom to go over blocking assignment. So since then, and that was holy hell. Close to 20 years ago. So
yeah, way to keep the show PG there. Yeah, he could be third overall, and it wouldn't surprise me at all next year. I own him in a couple leagues, and I was even looking at 8 and 11 and going, yeah, maybe I'd take Zamir White here.
Yeah, he was going to be my 2-3 if he hadn't gotten picked yet. So
I still somehow have my 5th ranked overall out there, and I'm going to go Seth Williams, wide receiver, Auburn. He's had some inconsistencies, but you can also see that he is just Hercules out there once in a while. With anyone that's 6'3", you're concerned about the 40 time, but he does have that my ball thinking when the ball's in the air. Right. So he's someone, if he has a 4.43 40, you can move White and Williams up to 3-4-5 range very, very easily. Mm-hmm. They are elite athletes.
Very true. So I don't typically do this, but I'm going to be the first one to take quarterback because obviously Fabio is a big deal. At 2-3, I'm going to get my quarterback. I'll go Trevor Lawrence. Obviously everybody knows him, knows everything about him, so I need not to say anything. Other than to say that typically I don't take quarterbacks in the top five of the second round. Typically I wait till the back half. Like I was notoriously grabbing Herbert, kind of at the 2-10 range in my one QB drafts, hoping that he would be my guy in the future, and he's a guy now. But a guy like Trevor Lawrence, everybody seems to believe that he's kind of a generational talent, and obviously so far he's been very successful in college. But I think that I think that moves well into the pro game. I think my hope is that whatever team in New York that he goes to next year, they're in the midst of rebuilding and they get them coaches that will help cultivate the talent. Because if he goes to either New York team right now as it stands, they're both dumpster fires. So
yeah, that's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, the first overall selection always has a dumpster fire. I mean, Burrow's got elite skill around him, right, except the O-lineman. And it's the 1-1 is always a quasi dumpster fire.
True story. All right, Mr. Craig, at 2-4, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, I was going to go Lawrence, but you got him. So clearly I can't do that. I'm going to go with the other tight end that we mainly mentioned, Pat Freiermuth. He's the best blocking tight end out of the three of them, which may give him more of a, well, yeah. For fantasy, you have to be on the field to get points for a team.
True story.
And if you're going to be able to block, you're going to be on the field faster. It's the same thing with these running backs. You know, they're going to have more of an opportunity to be out there and get you points if they're on the field more. And I think, you know, he's not as sexy of a receiver as Pitts or Jordan, which is probably why he's later here. But he could be end up being someone like Kittle, who is sort of overlooked for whatever reason in compared to what else that class has, but ends up being the best out of the group. It wouldn't surprise me if he did. So getting him this point after the other two, I'm happy with it.
Mr. Paul, 2-5 to you.
Yeah, I like that selection also. I believe I have my 8th overall players still out there, and I'm going to go Trey Sermon, running back formerly Oklahoma and now plays for Ohio State. He's just so smooth with his hands. He sees the hole. I'm concerned about the 40 time somewhat, but he is just so smooth, and he reminds me of Kareem Hunt. He's going to be slower, but everything else is here. And if he lands anywhere nice, you're looking at him 7, 8, 9 range, and maybe sooner.
Yeah, I mean, any of these running backs can push themselves in the top 10 by just having a nice landing spot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, think of it like Houston. Whoever they draft at running back, because you know they're going to draft a running back. whoever they draft is going to all of a sudden push himself into that conversation because everybody's going to want that running back, or, you know, or some of these teams like that. I mean, even, you know, there's a few other teams that are in that direction, but that leaves me with my kind of seventh ranked guy, and I guess I'll be the guy that draft both Alabama receivers, Devonta Smith, the other Alabama receiver. I'm a fan of him. I don't know. The tough thing for me with him is there's things I like about him and things that I don't like about him, and it's kind of like a 50-50 shot whether or not I think he turns into a real studly type receiver. But in the middle of the second round, I'm willing to take the chance because his upside, there's quite a bit of upside there. But I obviously like the other Alabama receiver considerably more because he's a bigger play threat. But for me, I've always kind of been hit or miss with my evaluations of Alabama receivers. Like, I got it with Julio. I didn't necessarily get it as well with Ridley. You know, I could see it with Julio. I could make the clear distinction as to what he was going to be. With Ridley, I was like, I think he could be, you know, and there have been others where, you know, but that tends to be the school I have the hardest time evaluating the receivers for some reason. But I wasn't a big Ruggs guy, and he seems to be a lot better than I thought he was. So, what can you do? Mr. Craig, 2-7.
Yeah, this guy probably would have been higher if he was healthy, and maybe I think even would have been drafted last year if he declared and was healthy, but I'm going to go Tylan Wallace out of Oklahoma State. I don't think he's ever going to be your top receiver on a team, but I can see him being a very competent two, that sort of that trusted guy if you want to. I'm not using this as a comp, but just the same function in an offense, sort of like a Jarvis Landry, a guy that can get you the ball. He's reliable. He's not going to be a burner, get you a ton of yards after the catch, but he'll catch the ball. He's not going to necessarily go down easy. This point in the draft here, I'm very comfortable getting a guy like that.
Don't argue it. Mr. Paul.
I thought for sure with the intro on that one that you were going to select Terry. He got hurt and he should have went last year. With the next selection, I'm going to head with the great White Hope and go Max Borgie, running back out of Washington State. He's just going to be a PPR monster. He's not fast. He's not overly skilled between the tackles. But he's really quick, and he's got nice hands. And when you're selecting in the late second, I will take the floor because you know that someone is always going to want at least semi-consistency out of the position. So I feel that you can sell him fairly easily at any time in the future.
Yeah,
I had taken him in our Debbie league.
Yeah,
And I don't like him as much as I did then because I got him like late in the draft, like a fifth round pick or something one year as a sort of a dart throw. But I do think if he ends up having a career like Danny Woodhead, I think he'd end up doing well. And I feel similar about him. And Danny Woodhead's a guy that was very productive in the NFL for a number of years, so it's not a knock on either one of them, but that's what I see in him.
Yeah, he's talented.
He had one season. Yeah, he had one season where he finished like second or third overall PPR. If you're getting that for a late second or early third, if that's the only season that you have him, you're fine with it.
Yeah. So, I don't want to be that guy to keep drafting quarterbacks, but Justin Fields has got to be the next guy just because he's looks to be – tough thing for me is I think I like Trey Lance more than him, but it's so early in the process that I expect Justin Fields to be highly drafted, be, you know, kind of one of the first couple quarterbacks taken, and he should get a chance. And with his skill set – he's better than what they've had recently at Ohio State, so you can't really compare him to what they've gone with, you know, the Haskins and some of these other guys. Like, he's a talented passer. He's a talented runner with the ball. He can do a lot of the things that the NFL wants nowadays. So I think he gets highly drafted and gets an opportunity to be a starter. And, you know, I think late second is a nice spot for him, although there's probably three or four guys on my list that I take above him if I already had drafted a quarterback. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that leads into my pick as I'm taking Lance, who's my number two quarterback currently in this class. Fields, I'm not sold on either way. I don't hate him like Paul does, but I'm not in love with him the way some of the other people that I know are. I just
Joe.
I see an overall Ohio lack State of consistency fans, you mean? From him.
Excuse me.
And maybe it is some of that Ohio State bias. Not that I'm not affiliated with any college program. When people ask me, I always tell them that I root for Hofstra, and they haven't had a program for, I don't know, 10 years or something like that. So that tells you how much I care. But when I'm looking at players, I like Lance a lot more than Fields. Fields is just maddeningly inconsistent. I think it's a name and a program. Like with that recruiting, I think it was Georgia he was at originally, and then he transferred to Ohio State. So he's had two big-name programs. He's got the skill set. I just haven't seen him put it together. So I like Lance more.
I like Lance more. My concern for him more is, he's got to protect himself better. Like, watching some of the footage I've watched of him, he takes some shots that I'm like, you probably shouldn't be taking those hits. You really should get yourself out of harm's way. But that comes with maturity. It comes with coaching. Once he gets to the NFL, the coach, they're going to get on him about protecting himself and doing some of those things. So he's got all the physical traits to be, the second best quarterback in this draft class. So, Mr. Paul, what do you got at the 211? Almost wrapping us up.
211. Ooh. Tamarian Terry. He had some issues the first week. He had a drop. Like I said before, he had a family problem that I won't go into, but he's forgiven from the fans on that one. When you found out about what actually happened. But he's really shown up the last couple weeks. He did have a knee injury this week, and we don't know how long he's going to be out for. Some say 2 weeks, maybe three, maybe four. Maybe they just shut him down for the year because no sense in being out there for useless games when season was over three snaps into it. But he's got elite upside. Whether he hits it or not, we will see. He's like 6'3", 220, but he looks a little slimmer this year and a little faster. And if you're a, you probably own this selection as a rebuilder because like every contender moves their second. So you probably own this selection as someone who picks first, second, or third, or who earned first, second, or third, and you're shooting for ceiling. So, Terry, I almost selected the Michigan man who fits the same mold, but I'll leave him to you so you can feel warm and fuzzy on the inside.
I'm not drafting him, though, here. as much as I like Nico Collins, I'm not taking him here. Because there's a receiver that I think has better upside and long-term upside. I'm going Sage Surratt from Wake Forest. I like the way he goes up and gets the ball. Just like I said earlier in the show, I like receivers that attack the ball in the air, and he goes up and tries to get it at its high point. I have some issues and concerns with some of his kind of his suddenness and his twitch as a receiver, but at 6'2", he's kind of a bigger target. I think he transitions well to what the NFL is looking for. Even if they move him in and let him be the big slot receiver, you could do something like they've been doing with LaVisca Chenault with Sherrod, I think would be interesting. Move him around the formation, get him doing some different things. He could provide some interesting fantasy value. Kid that I like. I always like to be able to try to pull a Wake Forest in the conversation because, nobody ever talks about Wake Forest. It's just not much of a program. So, And that's that. That wraps up our top 24, and there's plenty of other names we could have brought up. You know, Tutu Atwell from Louisville is a guy that I like or has been growing on me a little bit more. You know, we have Reggie Roberson from SMU, Terrace Marshall, Chris Olave, Charlie Kolar. I mean, we didn't talk about Kyle Trask, who is a guy, obviously, I've been tooting his horn for a little bit, who all of a sudden he finally actually is starting to provide some value so that I don't look like I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, there's plenty of other guys we could have talked about, and as the time goes on, we'll reevaluate and we'll remock as we get to the off season and some of those things. So this will be interesting to see how, you know, version 2.0 looks based on version 1. But either way, next week we'll do a super flex, which means, you know, all the quarterbacks will be drafted in the top 15, and then this will get all moved around and get all goofy. So any final thoughts on this draft 101 version 1, Craig? It's in the books. How do you feel?
I think it's a nice exercise to go through. I mean, if you go on Twitter, you see people doing these from time to time, not usually during season. You know, it's out of the season usually because things change week to week with your impressions. But this year is going to be so much, well, this coming year, the current year we're in, forever. It's just going to be so messed up with the way stuff's going. Might as well just accept that it's forever. But I think it's a good exercise to do, and it gets you looking at stuff more. That way you have a better opinion, and you're not me where you're just – generally speaking, in prior years, it's more so been pay attention to people, you know, the month before the draft, once the tape is in the book from the combine, and go from there. It's always better to be better prepared.
Paul, how about you, buddy?
This makes me want any first next year.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, I do not like Najee Harris at all. I'm not really an Amon-Ra fan. But if you mention, hey, you can switch those out for Zamir White, Seth Williams, or Fabio, even in a one QB league, it's like, eh, okay. It makes me want any first next year. And it makes the narrative of, oh, well, this is a playoff first go, eh. Yeah, but have you looked at what's going to be out there next
year? It's going to be a nice draft class.
And just be. And there's going to be someone that we didn't mention or that was in the back half of the second round that we're squarely looking at with the 108, 109 next year going, all right, you're the guy. It makes me want any first next year, and I don't want to really think about it. You do see lots of forced trades right now. And it makes me kick the value of the first and the early seconds up more than maybe I was even thinking an hour ago.
Absolutely. It's a fun class, and there's a lot. I mean, there's still so much. I mean, I've really only gotten to my preliminary evaluations for Roto Heat because we've got the rookie content, and we'll have a rookie guide and all that coming out. And I've just started my, you know, I've been only watching the film, you know, for a couple of weeks now, and it's like, wow, I'm really impressed with so many of the guys in this class where I'm like, okay, this could be another really strong class. I mean, it, you know, and maybe even deeper than some of the ones we've had. So I'm excited.
Yeah, in my complete rebuild, I had six firsts this past year or something, and I traded some of those out, but I've already got four firsts out of a 14-team league for next year. And it's a league that loves to trade, so there'll always be ability to move back and stuff. So getting excited already, which is a good thing to have with the way things are absolutely. Right now.
So, as always, we thank you guys for hanging out with us on the Devi Hour. We will do more of these. But if you have questions and you're on YouTube, post them in the comments below. I will make sure we respond to them accordingly. We check those out regularly. If you're listening on a podcast at a later date, hit the subscribe and give us a nice rate and review. You know, we like to see the positive comments. We are here to help. We have Discord dedicated to Devi. So if you want to jump in and talk Devi, talk about the rookie class, talk about anything, hit us up. Find us over on rotoheat.com. You can get our Devi rankings and all of our rookie content for just $3 a month. So go over to rotoheat.com/Patreon. Become a patron. You get all sorts of special in-season content when it comes to your dynasty and redrafts and all that fun stuff. And then as we get to the off-season, there's so much more. And show a little love. Greg and Paul, I'm Brad. We will talk to you guys again soon. And thank you again for hanging out with us.
Peace.
Also, right there, playlist. Hit it. Watch the videos. Do it. You want to? Do it.